The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
Grace is all about supply. Law is all about demand. The law says, you shall not demand, you shall not. All right, the law demands righteousness, but grace, God supplies righteousness. Salvation is full, free, and unqualified. All right? Doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. Amen. What a price that God paid for us to receive this free and unqualified salvation. And all the people said, amen. The gospel of grace is something that is not revealed to Pastor Prince. All right, Pastor Prince rediscovered it. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Years ago, when Paul received this gospel, the Bible tells us that it revolutionized the known world then. He preached all over, and the whole known world back then, the known world back then was saved. At least outwardly, Christianity permeated every strata of society. At one time, it even became a national religion, okay? But we know that Christianity is not a religion, amen? Something about the Apostle Paul, something about the revelation he had of the gospel of grace. Paul preached that it is not about your works, it's not about your doings, it's not about your performance that saves you. It's what Christ has done, amen? And your part is to rest in what Christ has done. Christianity is not D-O, it is D-O-N-E. Amen. Now, once again, I want to say, right believing is not believing. As long as you believe something strong enough, long enough, hard enough, whether it's the right object or not, you can believe a tree and the tree will heal you. You touch the tree, that you are healed. That's nonsense. Okay? Right believing has got to do with the right object, people. And this wonderful object is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to put your faith in the right object. Christianity is not about right living. It is about right believing. Also, many years ago, a German monk by the name of Martin Luther, he was doing penance, indulgences, you know, in one day he can go to his leader, all right, another monk, all right, and confess his sins, only to find him coming back to the monk, the leader again, late on in the day, and confess some more sins. So much so that his leader was so fed up and told Martin Luther, all right, you know what, go and commit a real sin and then come back and confess. That's how fed up he was, because he was so sin conscious. But one day, Martin Luther was going up the steps, all right, of one of the things that they have to do, all right, to please God. And God blazed these words from scripture, all right, across his spirit. The righteous shall live by faith. In other words, the righteous will live by right believing. When you believe right, you will live right. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. And the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of grace everywhere he went. But there is one place where we have recorded for us in the Bible his entire sermon that he preached, in a place called Pisidia Antioch. There are two Antiochs, one in Syria and one in Turkey today. Pisidia Antioch is in Turkey. Here is a picture of Pisidia Antioch. All right, I was there a few years ago with Pastor Mark and his family, and during winter time, it was very cold. And this was the place where Paul went to and preached the entire sermon. Okay, and if you look at it, it looks like a large city. Okay, but look at the Apostle Paul in Acts 13. This is what it says. Acts 13, no, go back to the earlier verses. When they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So Paul stood up, all right, and Paul says, men of Israel. So he was preaching in the synagogue in Pisidia, Antioch. And his whole sermon is recorded for us. Okay, his whole sermon is recorded for us. But the crux of the sermon, he started talking about the Old Testament, all the prophets, and how Israel was delivered out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. God gave them kings. When it came to David, he made the connection with Jesus Christ, the son of David. All right? And this is how Paul concluded his sermon. You tell me whether the gospel of grace that we preach today is in sync with what the apostle preached. All right? At the end of his sermon, he said this, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." Have you noticed that there are no conditions? All right, affixed to this, is full and unqualified. And by him, by Christ, everyone who believes is justified from all things. Everyone who what? Believes. It's not right doing, it is belief. Everyone who believes in him, they are justified or made righteous from all things from which you cannot be made righteous or justified by the law of Moses. Wow. Wow. Today, we would tell Paul, hey, Paul, tone down. Not everyone in the synagogue, all right, are living right. Not everyone, okay, has a heart for God. You know, you should say, unless you turn away from your sins, unless you give this up, unless you give that up, unless you stop doing this, unless you stop doing that. You cannot just tell people, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And everyone who believes is made righteous, from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Come on, Paul. All right? You cannot just preach grace like that. But Paul did. Paul preached it full and in an unqualified manner. Amen. He let it just rip, man. Hallelujah. And a lot of people, they would try to, you know, if they were there, and some opposers you will see later on, they were there, they would try to tell Paul, hey, Paul, you know, qualify your statement a little bit. But no, Paul preached radical grace, which is a true grace. Amen, church? And then Paul realized that not everyone will receive the good news. Some of them will despise grace. So Paul quote from Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5 about these people who despise grace. Right in the next verse, he says, "Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers," he's quoting now from Habakkuk, "marvel and perish, those who despise grace." He says, "You despisers, marvel and perish. For I work," God is talking, "I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one declare it to you." Now we see that happening, isn't it? We see people despising grace. All right? Even when it's declared, they feel like they cannot believe it. They want to qualify it. They want to add man's holiness, man's performance to the beautiful gift of salvation. No, friend, salvation is full, free, and unqualified. All right? Doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. Amen. What a price that God paid for us to receive this free and unqualified salvation. And all the people said, amen. Right at the end of the preaching, by the way, the synagogue, in the ruins of the synagogue, you will see the synagogue in Pisidia, Antioch, this place. All right, my daughter leaning near the ruins of the synagogue. All right, it's very cold. It's winter time. All right, this number of years ago. And she's right over the synagogue. You will see me standing next picture. All right, that's Kailing, Pastor Mark's daughter. All right, and you see me standing down there all stern and all that. You see how my daughter is so afraid of me. All right, leaning away from her daddy. And where I'm standing is the synagogue where Paul preached this sermon. And look at the result of what Paul preached. All right, right at the end of the sermon, the Bible says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Same words. Amen. They want the same sermon preached. Not a different one. They want, can you please, they begged Paul to preach the same sermon next Sabbath. Alright? And the Bible says, "Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." So obviously, what Paul preached was the grace of God. Paul persuaded those hearers who heard him to continue in the grace of God. See, friend, grace is not a topic. Grace is the gospel. Amen. Pastor Prince is not the first one to discover this. Amen. Definitely not. I'll be afraid if I'm the first one, man. Do, 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 do. don't know from where. All right? But this is not a personal revelation. This is something that Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a beautiful salvation sent by God, founded on the personal value and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible tells us, all right, he persuaded them to continue the grace of God. Look at the next verse. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Wow. Look at the result. And I was there, and the city is very well built. And I was walking with Pastor Mark, and I was just thinking to myself, wow, there was a time the entire city here, you know, all the pillars you saw just now, everyone stopped their work. The fishermen stopped fishing. All right, the farmers came from the fields. All right, the merchantmen stopped their business, closed up for the day, and all came to the synagogue to hear the gospel preached by Paul. Almost the entire city turned up. Now, if the true gospel is preached, there's also like despisers. Paul warned them, right? All right, look at what happened. Next verse. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now, it wasn't a question of doctrine. It wasn't a question of teaching. The Jews, they saw the multitude, and almost the entire city turned up for the preaching of Paul. They were filled with jealousy. Now, friends, sometimes people come against the gospel not because of the doctrine, but because they see the multitudes. These Jews, for example, said, wow, this synagogue has been here. I don't know how long it's been here, maybe a few hundred years. We've never had this kind of crowd. But now almost the whole city turned up. These people must be cult leaders. But they are not. They are servants of God. Amen? So, just remember this. They were filled with envy and they contradicted what Paul preached. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. In essence, they were blaspheming. Amen? So, I just want to rest assured that the gospel that's being preached is the gospel of grace. And the gospel that Paul preached is the gospel of grace. In fact, he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. You know, for many years, I've been wanting to understand grace because I know the new covenant is all about grace. And we know that we are no longer under law, we are under grace. Okay? But effectively, practically, how do I apply that in my life? Every day, how do I walk practically under grace and not under law? So the Lord gave me a very simple, and I thank God for that, all right? A number of years ago, gave me a very simple definition that has blessed me and blessed multitudes. All right, God says, grace is all about supply. Law is all about demand. The law says, you shall not demand, you shall not. And poor, sinful man, bankrupt man, says, I cannot, shall not. You understand? The law is demand. All right, the law demands righteousness, but grace, God supplies righteousness to sinfully bankrupt men. Hallelujah. So once you understand that, like the old covenant says, you shall not. The new covenant says, God says, I'll put my laws, I will be your God. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sins, I will remember no more. It's all I will. That's the new covenant. Supply. Amen. Whatever you lack, God supplies. Your part is to believe and receive. Amen. John chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 16, of his fullness we've all received and grace for grace. So last week we touched on this and I told you the word grace for grace. Jesus Christ was full of grace, full of unmerited, undeserved favor for all of us. Amen. So in other words, if you don't deserve God's favor, if you have done something to mess your life up, all right, whatever it is, you can receive favor from him that you don't deserve. Because grace is unmerited, unearned favor. And Jesus is full of this favor for you. Can I have a good amen? And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And I shared last week, for there, grace for, the word for there is anti in the Greek. Grace, anti-grace. So that sounds a bit strange. All right, we think of anti as against. But anti also is in place of. For example, the Antichrist, all right, is the person coming in place of Christ, trying to imitate Christ, but he's a false Christ. So he comes in place of the true Messiah, the true Christ. Are you listening? All right, so anti can be in place of. Grace, anti-grace means what? So I asked God for a picture, and God showed me a beautiful wave coming into the shores, wave after wave after wave of grace. A wave of grace comes in. When you use it up, in place of it, another grace comes. After you use it up, in place of it, another grace comes. Amen? All right, once again, I want to show you the beautiful picture we took of the Sea of Galilee. One wave, in place of that first wave, another wave comes. In place of this wave, another wave comes in. Isn't that beautiful? Amen? And for all of us with broken places in our lives, all right, all of us with holes in our hearts, in our souls, look at this picture now, up here, of the cliff and the wave hitting the cliff. The cliff reminds me of all of us. You know, we are so hard. When it comes, we refuse to be loved by God. We refuse to, you know, receive the things of God. And yet God's grace just comes in and fills up all the empty places of our life, fills up the crevices and the cracks of our soul and our broken heart, and filling it with His grace. Grace after grace after grace. Can I have a good amen? So this grace and the fullness of it and the goodness of God was released when Jesus cried at the cross, finished! When Jesus Christ finished, all right, the Bible tells us the veil separating God's presence, the Holy of Holies, from sinful man was torn from top to bottom. All right, all the pent up goodness, love, and the grace of God was released. Amen. And not just released out of mercy, released judicially for all men. Right now, God loves you, and God can make you righteous while maintaining His own righteousness. And God is not compromising His holiness in making a sinner righteous. It's all based on the sure work of Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen, church? So with this in mind, let's talk about the practical way. Last week we touched on it, but there's so much more I want to share. All right? If grace is supply, every morning when you wake up, you must be conscious of what? When you think of Jesus, He's my supply. He supplies me the grace that I need. Let's say you're about to do a presentation. Your boss wants you to do a presentation in front of 50 people, 100 people. You have never done it in front of even two, all right? It's always been one-on-one, and you're afraid. Your boss says here's an opportunity for you to shine. That puts more demand, all right? And if you are demand-minded, you feel that your boss is demanding from you excellent performance, all right? And you are demanding from yourself that you do it well and you do it right, okay? If you are demand-minded, guess what? You'll be under stress. Amen. But if you realize that every single day, God has given you wave after wave of grace and His goodness and His supply. So you just say, Father, I'm not stressed by this. All right. I'm a shy person, but I receive Your grace of boldness. Father, I do not know what to say, but I receive Your grace of wisdom. Father, I don't know how to impress these people and I won't even try to. I receive Your grace of favor with them. I don't have to apple polish. I don't have to compromise who I am. Amen. I don't have to compromise my convictions. I just trust You for favor. I receive Your favor with them. And you know what? You will walk into that place free from stress. Amen. And many a times you will see God's hand of favor on you and blessing. What are you faced with today? Is it this coming week? Is it this coming month? Are you afraid of what's in your future? All right, God wants you to know this. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have its own troubles. But every single day, God gives you grace for the day. And this is seen in the children of Israel in the wilderness, when they were wandering in the wilderness. Every single morning, by the time they woke up, there was manna on the ground. All right, the manna didn't fall on the ground, but it fell on the dew on the ground. So it's always kept fresh. And that's their food, champion's food. The Bible says angel's food. They ate that and none of them were sick. Amen. They ate the bread of heaven, the Bible calls it, the corn of heaven. And every single day it comes. It's like the grace of God every single day. Tomorrow Monday comes, guess what? There'll be grace for Monday. When Tuesday comes, there'll be grace for Tuesday. In fact, the Bible tells us every single day it fell, but there was a special provision made for the sixth day. On the sixth day, double portion of manna fell, so that the people can rest on the seventh day, go to church, spend time with their family, all right, stay away from work, And anything, but people think that the more I work, the more I do, the more I have. But God is saying, show that you trust me and my supply. All right? I'll give you double dose. I'll give you double portion on the sixth day. So on the sixth day, all right, they had double portion. Now, just to let you know, the Bible says 1,000 years with the Lord is like one day. Okay? Now, do you know that our day today is 6,000 years from Adam? Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. Abraham to Jesus Christ is another 2,000 years. We have 4,000 years. From the time of Christ to our time is another 2,000 years. So we have 6,000. So 1,000 years with the Lord is like one day. So practically, we're actually on the sixth day. You are the generation that will see the double portion of supply. Double portion of grace. Double portion of goodness. Amen. Stop looking at other generations and start saying, you know, Pastor Prince, you know, the early Christians suffered. They were thrown to the lions and they were in the Colosseum and they were persecuted. Hey, you know, we appreciate and we respect what they have done, all right, in standing up for Jesus Christ. But we're not to look behind. We are to look forward. We are the generation of the double portion. Double portion healing, double portion health. Amen. This, my friend, is right believing. You see, when you listen to the world will tell you things that are natural, okay? Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's where the world is confined to. Natural. You listen to the news, they'll tell you 1 in 5 Singaporeans will suffer this. Usually by the age of what? All right? 1 in 5 Singaporeans, 1 in 3 Singaporeans, 1 in 1. For America, 1 in 5, you know, among 5 Americans will suffer this and that kind of thing. So the more you listen to this and you forget you're a child of God, you don't live in the natural realm where the world does. You are in the world, but not of the world. Amen. You are of the kingdom of God. Are you listening? You don't depend on the resources of the world. You depend on the resources of God. Amen, church? So when the world will tell you, when you come to a certain age, all right, you have senior moments. You'll forget this, forget that. All right, it's very normal. You are at that age. Okay? In fact, the more you go on, all right, your hormones will decrease, this will decrease. And the more you hear that, the more you can find. But if you know, if you look at what the Bible says of God's people in Deuteronomy 33, look up here, it says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Now, this is God who cannot lie, who said this to his people. As your days, in other words, the more your days increase, so will your strength. As your days, so shall your strength be. Now, this is the opposite of the world. The world says the longer you live, the more or less you have, you know, energy, the less, you know, hormones or the less whatever it is, you know. And you should accept that. No, my Bible says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Moses lived to 120 years old, and the Bible says his eyes was not dimmed, nor his natural force abated. And you say, Pastor Prince, I don't believe that. You know what? God doesn't have to have you believe that. You can say, I don't believe there's a sun outside there. All right? The sun still shines. Your believing wrong will not stop the sun from shining. Your believing right won't make the sun shine. Your believing right will bless you to be in line with what is right. The sun is shining. All right, God is providing, God is supplying, God is blessing. If you believe right, you believe God's word, you enjoy the blessings of God's word. Amen. I'm here to tell you, church, God is saying, as your days increase, so shall your strength. I believe it, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So God is saying, all right, Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall be clothed with. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. Your heavenly Father feeds them. He's supply oriented. Notice that? He's telling you, how much more value are you compared to birds? Amen.